All right, we're good to go. Okay, welcome. It's matzah time. And tonight we're going to talk about blessings. So this is a continuing series. And I don't want you to be afraid of all these big books. I'm going to try to make it simple. But I want you to see the sources. We're learning the Haggadah. And we went through the entirety of Maggid. I'm pretty sure the entirety of Maggid is actually all recorded. And then Maggid ended, and we had a transformation. We transitioned to part two of the Seder. And part two of the Seder is where the speaking part for now is over, and now it's time to eat. So we had the Knight of Cups. One cup ends the telling, that's the second cup. And then there's a cup of water with which we wash our hands. Now this is a very simple Haggadah that I have over here for you. Just very simple. But so you can look inside, we're on page 40 over here. Right? You finish off, you see, Borei Pri HaGofen, and then comes Rochtzo. Rochtzo means now the hands are washed with the recital of the blessing for washing the hands. And then comes Motzi, and then comes Matzah. So I've been thinking for a long time of how to make what we're going to learn tonight simple. And this is what I came up with. Let's turn back to the very beginning of the Haggadah, before everything. Before, go to page 16 where it says, Seder Haggadah, the order of the Haggadah. And underneath the word Seder Haggadah, where the Alter Rebbe gives the instructions, Yesader al Shulchan Ekaira Begimel Matzahs Menachem Zalzeh, you arrange on your Seder plate three matzahs which are placed one on top of the other. They're different customs. This is the custom we follow. And the Alter Rebbe talks about what the matzahs represent, and he talks about the different items that are placed upon the Ka'ora. And then, before we go on to Kiddush, there's something called Simen Seder Shel Pesach. The order of the Pesach Seder. You see it on page 16? Page 17? So we have Kadesh. You know, there's a song people sing. Kadesh Orchatz Karpas Yachatz. Okay, so Kadesh is number one. What does that mean? Kiddush. Orchatz, we wash our hands. No blessing. This is just going to be for the big dip. Or the little dip. Karpas. A big dip, little nibble. Yachatz, we break a matzah. Oh, it's time to eat. Nah, not time to eat. We're just breaking matzahs now. We're not eating. We're still setting up the Seder plate because the matzah is going to be one of our show and tell items. We're going to be telling the story using the matzah as a visual aid. So we're not eating it. And then, of course, comes Maggid. A long story. This is a big part of the Haggadah. The lion's share of the Pesach night. And then comes Rochtzo. Then we're going to wash our hands? Okay. Then comes Motzi, and then comes Matzah. So what is Motzi and what is Matzah? A lot of people think that Motzi Matzah means take out the Matzah. Or you find the Matzah, because they get confused between the Afikomen that they hid and had to find the Matzah. What exactly is Motzi? There are 15 orders for the Seder night, and this is one of the orders. Matzah, we know what matzah is. Matzah is you have to make a blessing and eat matzah. Moror is eating the bitter herbs. Korech is when you sandwich the matzah and the moror together. Shulchan Orech, what everybody's waiting for. The meal is finally served. Tzofun, now we got to bring out the afikoman. And then Beirach, we make a blessing. Hallel, we sing Hashem's praises. And we reach the level of Nirtza, God is pleased with our efforts on this most magical night. What exactly is Motzi? I tried this out today, I asked a bunch of different people, smart people, learned people, but I mean, not a learned in Judaism necessarily, but just smart people, and they've all been to say that. I said, what is Motzi? And not a single one knew. I said, aha, I'm onto something here. People don't know. So what is Motzi? What is it? That's an order? That's an order of the Seder? Making a bracha of Hamotzi? You see Hagafen over here? It should be Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, Hagafen. Urchatz is a hand washing. It has a blessing. We don't say Urchatz bracha. We say Urchatz. By the way, in Urchatz you don't make a bracha. In Rachza you do make a bracha. But Urchatz is not different than Rachza. It's not broken into two. It's not that there is Rachza, bracha, motzi matzah. We don't make the bur pre gofen into an order. We don't even make the drinking of cups into an order. In fact, the drinking of cups do not figure in the order of the Pesach Seder. At no point is there drink. Shtia, lishtot, yayin, doesn't show up. So what is motzi? What is this? Tonight we are going to solve this mystery. We're going to solve this mystery in a way that will transform the way you view the Seder. A portion of the Seder is going to be very different. Tonight's focus is going to be on motzi. What is motzi? And you could see clearly that it's a separate order because you go to page 40 and 41 in the English, and what do you see? Motzi. Martin was not wrong. Dr. Kushner said motzi is making a bracha. Well, that's all we get. Motzi is a bracha. Ah, but the Alter Rebbe writes in the little print, V'yikach ha-matzahs k'seder she'nichon, you take the matzah in the order that they have been placed on your table, on your Seder plate, and you have the prusa, the broken piece, is between the two whole matzot, v'yo'ochzeim b'yado v'yivarech, and you hold them in your hand, and you make a bracha. So motzi is not just a bracha. Motzi is a holding. What is that? How did that become a thing? How did that become an order? Holding matzah becomes an order?
We do it challah on Shabbos.
So let's take a look at now let's see what the Rebbe comments over here. Motzi matzah. The Rebbe says, in the Rebbe's commentary he writes, motzi v'achar kach matzah. Motzi, and only afterwards matzah. Now, the Rebbe seems to be talking not about the orders of motzi and matzah, but rather the Rebbe seems to be talking about the blessings. He says there's a blessing of motzi, ha-motzi, and achar kach, a blessing on matzah. So what's the obvious question? What's the obvious question? Which is the more important blessing tonight? Which is the more important activity? What's the real novelty of tonight? That we're making hamotzi or that we're eating matzah? Eating matzah. So the question then is, why do we make a bracha of hamotzi and then afterwards a bracha of matzah? Now I want to tell you something very interesting. This halacha, motzi, and then afterwards the bracha of matzah, is not found in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't speak about it. It's just a matter of fact. The oldest document that we have is a siddur of Rav Amram Gaon, who was one of the great Gaonim. We're going back approximately 1,000 years, 1,100 years ago, to the period of the Gaonim, maybe even more, maybe 12 centuries ago. So Rav Amram Gaon writes in his siddur is one of the earliest orders of what we do, a ritual handbook. And over there he says, you make the bracha of motzi and afterwards matzah. Now, very interestingly, this is found in the Rambam and it's found in the Shulchan Aruch. For example, the Rambam in the laws of chametz u'matzah says in today's day and age that we don't have a korban, achar shemevorech hamotzi. After you make a bracha of hamotzi, chozer u'mavarech al achilat matzah, then you return and you make a bracha al achilat matzah. So the Rambam clearly endorses this as the halachic or legal path to follow. First you make a bracha of hamotzi, and after you make a bracha of matzah. Fascinatingly, none of the commentaries on Rambam, at least not the classic ones, speak about this. They don't discuss it. They don't What they do discuss is the fact that the Rambam says after umetabel matzah becharoset veochel, then you dip the matzah in charoset, and everybody goes crazy. The Magid Mishnah speaks about it, the Lechem Mishnah speaks about it, the Migdal Oiz, everybody talks about this. Why are you dipping the matzah? Where did this come from? Who ever heard of dipping matzah in charoset? Now, this is I'm not going to talk about that. That's a big subject for a different night. Nobody asks Rambam, why do we make a bracha of hamotzi before the bracha of alachilas matzah? Nobody asks the question. Nobody explains anything. Nobody says anything. The halacha is brought down in the Tur. In the beginning of chapter 475 of Ora Chaim, Tafayin Dalet, the Tur says, now we're up to part two of the Seder. V'yitol yodov, wash your hands. And then you take the ka'ara, you take the Seder plate. Shaham matzot betocha, the matzos are in there. B'seder shehinichu, in the way they've been placed in front of you. Hashleima lemala, the whole matzah on the top. Prusa tachteha, the broken one underneath it. V'yivorech al hashleima, you make a bracha on the whole matzah, and the bracha you make is hamotzi. And then the Tur says something very interesting, which we don't do. He says, v'yivtza, you break the matzah. And then after you break the matzah, but don't eat, just break the matzah. Then, don't eat it, ad sheyivorech al haprusa, till you make a bracha on the broken piece of matzah, and the bracha should be made al achilat matzah. So according to the Tur, not only you recite the bracha of hamotzi first, you make a bracha of hamotzi over the top matzah, you break the matzah, but you don't eat the matzah until you make a bracha of al achilat matzah on the broken piece. None of the commentaries on the Torah, not the Beis Yosef, and not the Bach, not the Darken Barsha, Drisha, or Prisha, none of them say, hey, how come we do this order? It's a matter of fact. It's a halacha. It's based on the writings of Rav Amram Gaon. Nobody asks the question. In the Shulchan Aruch, we have a variation of the same halacha, of course, the same simon, the same chapter, 475. He says, Yitol Yodov, wash your hands, v'yivarech al netilat yadayim. The Torah doesn't mention that. Shulchan Aruch says, wash your hands, make a bracha al netilat yadayim, and then, v'yikach hamatzot keseder sheinichem, you take the matzah in the order that they are placed. He leaves out the word seder plate. So, slight variation. He says, hold the matzah, v'yivarech, and you make a bracha. What bracha? Hamotzi. V'al achilat matzah. It doesn't say like the Torah. It doesn't say you make a bracha and then break it and make another. It says no. You make a bracha, hamotzi, and then va'al achilat matzah. He doesn't even say another word. He says va'chakach yivtza. And then you will break the matzah. What are you going to break it? You're going to break the shleima and the prusa. You're going to break the whole one and the broken one at the same time. Biyachad. The top one is whole. The middle one is broken. You're going to break the top one and break the middle one.
Again.
Yeah.
The middle one's already broken.
The middle one's already broken. Now you're breaking it to eat it. It's like a big piece of matzah. It's hard to get into your mouth. Fascinating. None of the mafarshim asked the question. Nobody says, what do you mean? Why do you make the bracha of hamotzi first? Nobody says a word. The Magen Avraham, the Taz Magen David, the Chok Yankov, everybody speaks about this business of which matzah are we breaking? And which matzah are we eating from? Is it the top matzah? Is it the middle matzah? Which bracha goes on which? By the way, there's a huge dispute of Machlekes HaRishonim, of the medieval sages, of which bracha goes on which. Nobody stops to say, okay, one second, why indeed do we make a bracha of hamotzi before a bracha of matzah? Nobody says anything. And I want to tell you something unbelievable. I don't even know how many hours I spent on this appearing this class today. I basically spent my whole day in this. I cannot find a single one of the Mefarshim, not a single one of the codifiers or the commentaries who explain why we make a bracha of hamotzi and only afterwards make a bracha of the matzah. Now the closest we get is the Avud Arham. The Avud Arham, he says, Mevorech al hashleima, he holds the other way around. He says, you make a bracha of hamotzi on the broken matzah. And he says, matter of fact, this is the birchat hanenin. This is the bracha for eating. Because there's different kinds of brachot. There are brichat hanenin, a blessing you make over pleasure. You enjoy something from Hashem's world, you make a bracha. You're going to eat or drink, you make a bracha. You're going to smell something beautiful and aromatic, you make a bracha. Then there's a different kind of brachot called birchat ha-mitzvot. The brachas of mitzvot. You put on tefillin, you affix a mezuzah, you light Shabbat candles, you make a bracha. It's a different kind of bracha. And then there's something called birchat ha-shevach. Blessings of praise or thanksgiving. The most famous of them is shehechiyanu. So the Avudar Ham says, you make the bracha, doesn't ask a question, but he matter of fact comments. He make the bracha of Hamotzi, and he says, because it's a birchat ha-nehenin, ha-kodemet le-birchat ha-matzah, which comes before birchat ha-matzah. And then, afterwards, you make the bracha on the shleima, and he says, the orcha de milta, the mevarchinan, kutshebrichu de-apik lachmam ara. The way, the decent way, the normal way is that you thank Hashem for his sustenance first. And then you go ahead and you make a bracha on the matzah which is being eaten. So Avudar Ham kind of mentions this. He doesn't ask the question, he kind of mentions it. Nobody like outright says, okay, we have to understand why is Hamotzi going before the concept of matzah. And I'm going to add something. If the bracha of Hamotzi is just a Hamotzi bracha, why is it part of the order of the Seder? Hagafen is not part of the order of the Seder. Why is Motzi part of the Seder? If it's just a question of a regular bracha over something you're eating, you should have hagafens, four of them, or at least three.
When we say El Mechia,
yeah,
we connect to Haaretz and the item as well. So is there a tie-in to the power of the earth?
That's a good point, Doc. That's a very good point. A power into the tire of the earth.
Mechia, we say El Haaretz, El, and the item as well.
Yeah, we thank Hashem, because in Berchat HaMazon, we have to thank Hashem for both. Berchat HaMazon is connected to the land of Israel. Mm. Not only that which the land produces, but that's the bracha after we eat. Mm-hmm. So hold the thought.
Separates the Eretz and
it does make a difference, a distinction, because there's multiple things we thank Hashem for at Berchat HaMazon. Okay. The only one that I found that deals with this question directly is the Rebbe himself. Up until the Rebbe wrote this, nobody addresses this. It's like astounding to me. Nobody addressed it. The Rebbe says, Motzi v'achar kach matzah. Why? And the Rebbe says, Ki, because tadir v'she'eino tadir, something which is usual and something which is not usual, tadir kodem. If it's usual and unusual, we go with the usual first. And the Rebbe says, by the way, you should take a look at Masechet Brachot, page 51, side B. Take a look at the Gemara there. So, of course, I'm starting to think, I don't understand. The Gemara there is a dispute between Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, and Beit Hillel. If you make a Borei Pri HaGafen, then you say Kiddush, or if you say Kiddush and then say Borei Pri HaGafen. But the din of Tadir v'she'eni Tadir is actually a Mishnah in Masechet Zvachim. So, let me just take you through this. Let's go through this. I'll try to understand how this works. On page 89 in the Gemara Masechet Zvachim, the Gemara makes a statement. The Mishnah makes a statement. Page 89, side A. Kol ha-Tadir mechavero kodem et chavero. Anything which is more typical comes first. That's how it is when it comes to mitzvahs. Where do you see that? We see it with offerings, with korbanot, because there's a korban tamid, a daily offering brought in the Beis HaMikdash, and then there's an offering which is brought for a special occasion, like Rosh Chodesh, Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, or festivals. Special brachot, special offerings, pardon me, not brachot, special offerings. And the Mishnah says, Musfe Shabbat, the tamid comes before the musaf. The regular offering comes before the additional offering. The musaf of Shabbat, which comes every week, precedes musaf, the additional offering of Rosh Chodesh. And musaf of Rosh Chodesh comes before the musaf of Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is only once a year. And Rosh Chodesh comes at least 12 times a year, but really more than that. So because of this, we say, Tadir v'sheni Tadir, and the Mishnah goes on to cite a verse that indicates this. The thing is that the Mishnah in Zvachim is telling us about offerings. Who says it applies to something like blessings? Who says it applies to blessings? And by the way, I'm going to throw davening, but who says that halacha applies? I'm going to throw a monkey wrench into this. The very next Mishnah says, "Kol hamakudash mechavero kodem et chavero." Whatever is holier comes first. You know, here's an interesting monkey wrench in the whole theory of whatever's more usual comes first. When we daven, men daven in the morning, what do? They put on a talit and they put on tefillin. What do they put on first? A talit. And afterwards, the tefillin. Why? Which is holier, talit or tefillin? Holier. The tefillin are way holier. Tefillin is a little Sefer Torah. Talit is just it's a shawl. In theory, you don't even have to dispose of it in a sacred manner. It doesn't have holiness to it. So why do we put on the talit first?
We use it more.
Because we use it 7 days a week. Whereas the tefillin only used 6 days a week. So it's used more often. And then the festivals, minus the festivals, again, wearing a talit, not wearing tefillin. But a very, very famous Talmudic sage of the 18th century, who's known by his magnum opus, the Chagas Aryeh, he says, no, that doesn't make any sense. We should put on tefillin first because they're much holier. And he, Paskins, you put on tefillin first. He used to put on his tefillin first. And afterwards you put on his talit. So the tadir v'sheino tadir is not such a simple thing. It's not like it's a shoo-in. What do they call them? Like a slam dunk. It's not a slam dunk. It's not so simple. And who says it applies to blessings? So there is this principle called tadir v'sheino tadir. The Rebbe says, take a look, ure'ei, take a look at Masechet Brachot. What do we see in Masechet Brachot? Masechet Brachot on page 51, the Gemara there talks about distinctions, differences of custom between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel when it comes to meals and to the etiquette that accompanies the feasts of the Jewish people. Sit down to eat, there's a halachic etiquette we follow. So the Gemara says, one of the things is that between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai says, Mevorech al hayom, first you say Kiddush, and then you make a bracha, borei pri hagafen. Why do you do that? He says, what do you mean? Hayom gorem l'yayin. Why are we drinking wine today? Because it's Shabbat, because it's a festival. So the only reason you're drinking wine, the only reason you're raising a glass of wine is because you have a mitzvah to make Kiddush. So make Kiddush. That comes first. And then, Beit Shammai has another reason. By the time you make Kiddush, is it Yom Tov yet? Usually it is. It's already Shabbat. Usually it is. He says the holiness came first. If the holiness came first, make a bracha over the day. Start off your Kiddush. And then after sanctifying the day, then you'll make a bracha, Borei Pri Hagafen. Beit Hillel says no. Beit Hillel says, I don't agree. Mevorech al hayayin. You make a bracha on the wine first. Va'acharkach, and afterwards, mevorech al hayom. Then you make a bracha of Kiddush. How will your Kiddush start? Savri maranan. Baruch atah Hashem, borei pri hagafen. And after you make a blessing over the wine, then you make a blessing over the Kiddush, over the day. Why is that? Says Beis Hillel, shahayayin gorem lekiddush. Yes, it's a biblical mitzvah to use your words to sanctify holy days, a day like Shabbat. It's a biblical mitzvah to designate this day as unique and special, to make a demarcation, verbally, a verbal demarcation. Zacharis Yom HaShabbos, you have to actually verbalize it. But the idea of making Kiddush at the meal over a glass of wine, that's a rabbinic injunction. When a person prays and he davens the Shabbat tefillah, he already welcomed Shabbat. He fulfilled the biblical mitzvah. In fact, if you say so much as Shabbat Shalom, that already fulfills your biblical mandate. You used your words to designate, to set aside, to make this day special and unique. That's good enough. So why are you making this whole kiddush? Because you have wine. So Beis Hillel says, so make a bracha on the wine first. And then Beis Hillel says, davar acher, another thing, and this is what weighs Beis Hillel over and makes him the victor, birchas hayayin tadira. The bracha of wine happens more often. The bracha of wine happens more often than kiddush. What does that mean? What does it mean, the bracha of wine happens more often than kiddush? Gemara doesn't explain itself. The Gemara doesn't say. The Gemara just says, Birchat Hayom, Eini Tadira. Kiddush is not as often. Wine blessings are often. Tadir Vesheini Tadir, the usual and the unusual. Tadir Kodem, the usual, the typical comes first. And the Gemara finishes off, Vehilchata Kedivrei Beit Hillel. That's the halacha. So what the Rebbe is showing us, first and foremost, is that we see there's a question of blessings. A blessing over the wine, or a blessing over the day, the yayin, or the kiddush, and how do we decide? What makes us decide to do wine first, not kiddush? We use the argument of tadir, v'she'eno tadir, tadir kodem, regular and non-regular. The regular comes first. So the Rebbe seems to indicate that as a result of this, because there's a regular and a non-regular when it comes to blessings, not only performance of mitzvahs. And because we see that the Gemara says the halacha is like Beis Hillel, aha, so we see the concept of tadir v'she'enu tadir, it works insofar not only as an act of mitzvah is concerned, but also as a blessing is concerned. As such, we can use the same argument here. First, you should make a bracha of hamotzi, because that is tadir. And what is eino tadir? Matzah. Matzah only comes once a year. Whereas the bracha of hamotzi comes all the time. So that explains, it would seem on the surface, why we have to recite a bracha of motzi and afterwards matzah. But the interesting thing is that that's not what the Avud Arham said. And the Avud Arham is merely quoting the Siddur of Rab Amram, and nobody suggested this Tadir or She'eni Tadir, which seems so obvious, but nobody ever suggested it. So the Rebbe adds, and he says, in addition to this reason of Tadir v'She'eni Tadir, in addition to this, v'orcha de milta, it is the way, it's a normal thing to do, an accepted practice. Livruchi l'kud shabrichu, to bless God, the apik lachma menara, who has given us sustenance. It's a normal practice to first thank God for sustenance. V'hoder livruchi al matzah, and then to make a blessing over matzah, the mit avid minei mitzvah, with which we are going to do a mitzvah. First thank God for your sustenance. And then you can thank God for the mitzvah you're about to perform. Now, very interestingly, if you take a look in Avud Arham, who quotes Reb Amram Goen, he says, De'orcha de milta. That's the reason. The reason is De'orcha de milta. Clearly, the Rebbe is not merely quoting that as a reason. The Rebbe is saying an additional reason. The reason, he says, is Tadir v'she'eno tadir. When it comes to blessings, the blessing recited more typically. And ve'urcha, the Rebbe changes the dalad, because in the Siddur of Reb Amram Goren, that's the way the Avud Arham quotes it, is a direct quote, almost a direct quote. The Reb Amram Goren writes, dimit avid minei mitzvah. Whereas the Avud Arham says, al matzah dimit avid minei. Slightly different. The Siddur of Reb Amram Goren says that it's urcha de milta, it's a decent normative thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Thank Hashem for the sustenance. And then we make a bracha. And the matzah, the mit'aved, minei mitzvah, that we do to the mitzvah. So the Rebbe seems not satisfied with some reason, the mitzvah, this business of tadir v'sheino tadir. And he says, and v'urcha de milta. So I'm learning this, and I have like a few questions. I'm taking questions in a second, but like I'm asking myself, I don't understand. Why did Rebbe have to say this? If nobody ever said it, why is Rebbe taking this path? Why doesn't he just take the path of Rebbe Amram Gon? Instead, he says, you see, when it comes to blessings, and if that's a better reason, just leave it at that. But he doesn't leave it at that. And then he says, and ve'urcha de milta, and it is the normal thing to do, to bless Hashem for the sustenance for the bread as well. So I'm asking myself this question. I'm really having like a challenge. I'm not understanding this. Why is it necessary to bring down this first answer and then to add the, in addition, the urcha de milta? So clearly, there has to be something missing in the tadir v'she'eno tadir. The business of the usual or the non-usual, the typical or the non-typical, somehow it doesn't quite satisfy our needs. There's something more than the typical or the non-typical going on here. And so the Rebbe is saying, and we have the reason of urcha de milta. You have a question? I'd like to take your question. And then I'm going to get a recap of everything we've learned up until now before I introduce the next part of the thesis to you. Yes?
Only at the Seder table, saying Matzah, for Achilat Matzah, not during the week.
There is no other opportunity for us to make a bracha of a mitzvah and a bracha of like Birchat HaNenin and Birchat HaMitzvah. There is no other opportunity. I mean, unless you want to talk about Kiddush and wine, but the Kiddush and the wine, they go together. There is no other opportunity where they actually, we have to make two blessings. There's nothing else like matzah. Because there's very few things that it's a mitzvah to eat. The other things that it's a mitzvah to eat are maror, but maror you don't make a bracha on. In fact, you're supposed to be thinking about it when you make a bracha on the karpas. And when you eat a korban on the time of the Beit HaMikdash, you ate the lechem, you ate the bread that came with the korban. So once you make hamotzi, you don't make a shahakol, you wouldn't make a bracha on the bread. There is nothing else that I can think of where you actually have to make these two blessings. This is the only instance in the entire repertoire of Jewish ritual, halacha, where we have a question of which bracha to make, because we have to make two brachot over the same item that we're eating.
Only at the Seder table.
Only at the Seder table. Oh, this is a unique, not any time. Not any time, not on any Yom Tov. There really isn't anything else we eat that's a mitzvah. The only edible mitzvah we have today is matzah. We have a rabbinic mitzvah of maror, but again, we don't make a bracha on that. So I'm just going to recap. And the recap is, we started off initially trying to understand what exactly is motzi. It's an order. It's part of the Seder. Motzi. What does that mean? What is motzi? What is it? Is it just a blessing? Then we did like a quick review of what our sources tell us about making the bracha, and we see it's universal, hamotzi, and only afterwards alachilat matzah. Various other customs or different rulings, whether we should break the matzah before or wait to break both after, but the bracha nobody argues about. And the only one who mentions the fact that there are two different kinds of blessings, and one comes the other, he says matter-of-factly, is Avud Arham, who's quoting the Siddur of Rabbi Amram Gorn. The Siddur of Rabbi Amram Gorn is the earliest source we have for Hamotzi before the Alachilat Matzah. I'm not saying they didn't do that before, we don't have any documentation of it. And the Rebbe introduces us to this idea, Tadr V'Sheini Tadr, is the usual and the unusual. And he shows us that there's a Gemara in Masechet Brachot that actually speaks about this, about blessings. But then the Rebbe goes back to the reasoning of Rabbi Amram Gaon. He seems to favor the concept of Tadr V'She'eini Tadr, although it is totally novel. He's not citing anybody. And then he goes back and he cites the Siddur of Rabbi Amram Gaon. So, and that brings us to our point now. Why is this? So I'm going to introduce now something fresh, something different. And with this different thing, we were going to answer two questions. The first question is, why did Rebbe arrange his commentary in this fashion? And then, ultimately, it will answer our question why we have motzi and matzah. Okay? Okay. in the Gemara. Before I do that, I'm going to share with you a commentary on the Tosefta. The Tosefta is the codicil of Mishnah genre teachings, and many, many of the things that the Gemara talks about are actually mentioned in the Tosefta. The Tosefta is only formally arranged after the Mishnah is already complete. The sages of the Talmud knew the entire Tosefta, and they would oftentimes quote the Tosefta. The Tosefta says clearly the words of the Gemara. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have this difference. Do you make a bracha on the wine? Or do you make a bracha on the Kiddush, on the day? The opinion of Beis Shammai is quoted here. Mevorach al hayom, because hayom gorem liayin, it's the day that causes the wine. Vikvar kodesh hayom, the day has already arrived. A little shorter than the Gemara, but the same idea. Beit Hillel says, no. Mevorach al hayayin. First you make a blessing on the Borei Pregi Ofrin over the wine. Then you make a bracha over the day. Shehayayin gorem likedusha. Slightly different from the Gemara. And then he says, Dover acher, birchat hayayin, the blessing of yayin is tadir, and birchat hayom eino tadir. The blessing of the day is not typical. The blessing of the yayin is typical. There's a commentary from the 16th century called the Minchas Bikurim. 17th century. Minchas Bikurim says like this. What do you mean yayin is tadir? What does that mean? Most people drink wine once a week when they make Kiddush. In general, like a good kosher wine was an oxymoron once upon a time. This is only about 30, 40 years old that you can get good kosher wine. It was like putrid stuff. When did Jews drink wine? And you made Kiddush. What's so tadir about it? In the time of the Gemara, wine was very expensive. People couldn't afford wine for Havdalah even. Many people didn't make wine for Havdalah because they couldn't afford it. They'd make Kiddush on wine once a week. So the Michas Bikurim says, no, that's not correct. Yayin is tadir. Because whenever you recite Birchat HaMazon, you're supposed to recite it over a glass of wine. You may not, or you may, but that's how it's supposed to be. So ideally, yeah, whenever you have a mizuman, and Hayom Yom, the Rebbe says clearly that we follow that opinion of Shulchan Aruch, that whenever you have a mizuman, you're supposed to make, some people think you only recite over a glass of wine at a wedding. No, you're supposed to make a glass of wine all the time. In other words, it's not just a question of drinking wine. It's a question of a mitzvah of wine. There's the mitzvah of yayin, which shows up all the time at Berchat HaMazon, and Kiddush. And the mitzvah of Kiddush, which only comes once a week. That's what the Michas Bikurim says. So this got me thinking. So it's not the fact that you make the bracha more often, or not. It's the mitzvah. It's the mitzvah. So I want to suggest something very, very different. When we say that the motzi is a bracha that comes more often, we mean the mitzvah of the motzi. The mitzvah of the motzi? Yes. What am I talking about? I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about. In fact, I'm going to quote Rashi and Rashbam on the Gemara, in Mesechet Pesachim, on page 116. The Gemara says, are we making a bracha? Why do we call matzah what we call it? Is it broken bread, poor people's bread? What's it about? And Rashi says like this. The broken bread, levorach al achilat matzah. The prusa, the broken bread, is to make a bracha al achilat matzah. But why do we have three matzot then? So he says, v'shtei shleimot, two whole matzot, maisi we bring, mishum birchat hamotzi. We bring two whole matzot to make a bracha of hamotzi. You don't need a whole matzah to make a bracha of hamotzi. You don't need two whole matzot to make a bracha of hamotzi. If you eat a piece of bread, you still have to make a bracha of hamotzi. What is Rashi talking about? Says Rashi, Dilegora Mishaar Yomim Toivim. Passover, Pesach night is not different than any other Yom Tov night. Shetzarech Livtsoa Al Shtei Kikrot Shleimot. You have to make a bracha on two loaves. What's that called? It's called Lechem Mishnah. It's called Lechem Mishnah. The Rashbam says the same thing. Shtei Shleimot Matinan Mishum Hamotzi Dilegora Mishaar Yomim Toivim. In other words, this is the idea of Lechem Mishnah. Lechem Mishnah commemorates the miracle of the manna. Every day we were instructed to go out and collect the manna, the food for that day. We were totally dependent on God. God was trying to get us used to being dependent on Him. That's called living with bitachon, living with trust. You were dependent on God. There's no guarantees in life. You trust in Hashem. So He tried to condition us like that for 40 years. But what was the exception? On Friday. On Friday, a double portion fell. So you had enough for Friday and for Shabbat. And we commemorate the miracle of Shabbat, which means a Jew says, every day I go out to work, I don't know if I'm going to have parnasa. That's in Hashem's hands. On Shabbos, I don't worry about parnasa. Why not? Aha, because Hashem gives me parnasa before Shabbat, for Shabbat. And to commemorate this, which is the greatest act of bitachon, trust in Hashem, we make a bracha on two loaves. The motzi on Friday night is not just a regular birchat hanenin. It's not just a blessing on food that you eat. The bracha on Friday night is a special mitzvah called the mitzvah of hamotzi. It's a making a bracha. So motzi here doesn't just mean the bracha of hamotzi. Motzi here means Lechem Mishnah. The Tosfos has a whole question. He asks questions of Rashi and the Rashbam. He said, 1 second. We have a Medrash that says that the manna did fall on Yom Tov. So he answers back. There's a dispute amongst the Medrashim whether Lechem Mishnah was only for Shabbat or for Yom Tov also. And clearly we follow the idea. It was for Yom Tov also. In other words, the motzi here is a bracha. It's not just a bracha, it's a mitzvah. Motzi is a code name for the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah. Because as you see, the Minchas Bikurim understands the Todr V'She'eini Todr by the wine, that it's connected to the mitzvah of wine, not to drinking wine, but mitzvah of wine. Here is a Kiddush mitzvah, and every day there's Birchat HaMazon mitzvah. So the wine is there as mitzvah wine. And here we have the mitzvah of two breads. And now I say, oh, we're onto something. And it gets really very interesting. Because in the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim, there's a Rosh. And the Rosh cites a fascinating custom. That just like they used to make lachamei toda. And the lachamei toda would be made 10 breads of three different kinds. Or four different kinds. And each would be made with 3.5 sa'in. So it would be a sa'ah, which is a measure for three breads. So the Rosh says that it is therefore a custom amongst many people to use a sa'ah to make three matzahs. Which, by the way, the reason we have matzahs the way they are today. That's the size of the matzahs. And the size of the matzahs as such is bigger than the matzah you need to eat. So that you should have three special matzahs. And then the Rosh says like this. And this is not found anywhere else besides the Rosh. The Mordechai mentions it also. V'oysa lehem simen. You make a sign. Which matzah is which? We do this in our Pesach Seder night. We proverbially label the matzahs. How do we label it? Because we put it in a certain compartment or under a certain cloth. We know which matzah is which. So he says, V'eisen simon ezer rishona ezer shnia ezer shlishit. You know which of the three matzahs? Not like a jumble of matzahs. It's in order. Why? Leida ezer mehen nitrama rishona shemitzvah rishona. Because he says, you have to know, just like what you would have in the Beis HaMikdash, they would make these large drums of money. that would be collected from the Jewish people, and these drums of money would be used to purchase the daily offerings, and there's a mitzvah to take from the first drum or the first money that comes in, and the drums would be marked Aleph Beis Gimel. He says the same thing should also be with the matzahs. And then he says you have three special matzahs earmarked for three special mitzvot. What are they? Al harishona, on the first matzah, yivarech hamotzi. Al haprusa, on the broken middle matzah, yivarech al achilat matzah. And on the third matzah, you are going to do the mitzvah of korech. So each matzah has a mitzvah. Each matzah is designated for a purpose. The top matzah is designated for which mitzvah? For the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah, which is called the mitzvah of Hamotzi. But it's not a blessing, an empty blessing of Hamotzi. It's a mitzvah of Hamotzi. This Rosh, fascinatingly, is quoted by the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch. In Simen Taf Nun Ches, the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch says that it is customary to make, it's interesting because in the tour this halacha is not found, and in the big Shulchan Aruch this halacha is not found, but the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch is found. He says it's customary to make three signs, to mark the matzah, so to speak. You make a siman. Barishona osimba mitzvah harishona. What's the mitzvah harishona, the first mitzvah of tonight with the matzah? The hainu birchat hamotzi shebrachazu hu hamitzvah harishona shosim b'matzot halalu. It's not a mitzvah to make a hamotzi. It's a halacha. You don't eat before you make a bracha. What's the mitzvah of hamotzi? The mitzvah of hamotzi means lechem mishnah. And then bashniya osin hamitzvah hashniya. What's the mitzvah? Al achilat matzah, eating matzah. Ubishlishit osin mitzvah hashlisha. What's the third mitzvah? The kricha, imam maror, the mixture with the maror. In other words, now let's go back to what we talked about. Why is it a siman? It's a siman because it says, motzi is not a bracha, motzi means lechem mishnah. Just like kiddush became a siman called kadesh. But you make kiddush every Friday night. Yes, you do. You make kiddush every Yom Tov night. True. On Pesach, there's a big difference in the kiddush. You know what the difference is? On a regular night of Shabbat or Yom Tov, one person makes kiddush out loud and everybody listens and answers amen. Why? Because it's a mitzvah you can do by power of agency. But on the night of Pesach, everybody should make kiddush. Why? Because there's a special mitzvah of drinking four cups of wine. So you anyway have to drink the wine. You have to drink the wine. Make the bracha yourself. Make kiddush yourself. Men make kiddush. Women make kiddush. Everybody makes kiddush. Everybody says kiddush together. However, when it comes to the mitzvah of breaking two breads, which on Pesach is two matzot, so it's called motzi. That's an order of the Seder. It's a mitzvah we have to do every other night also. Okay, so what? So is kiddush. It's still an order of the Seder. It's not a bracha. It's an observance. It's a mitzvah. It's the mitzvah of Hamotzi. It's called the mitzvah of Hamotzi. And now all of a sudden it makes so much sense to say motzi, matzah. But this brings an enormous question to mind. If that's the case, if it's not simply a question of a bracha, which is tadir sheni tadir, if it's about a mitzvah, tell me, which is a more important mitzvah? The mitzvah of making lechem mishnah or the mitzvah of eating matzah? Which is a more important mitzvah? Let me phrase it differently. Which of the 613 mitzvahs is it you should make two breads on a Friday night or on a Yom Tov night? Which of the 613 mitzvahs is it? The answer is none. Why? Because it's not a mitzvah. It's a proverbial mitzvah. It's an observance. It's a custom. It's not actually a mitzvah. In fact, later on in this very same collection of teachings from the Rebbe, we're going to have a discussion as to whether the meal on Pesach night is biblically mandated or maybe only rabbinically mandated. It's not so simple that it's mandated to have this meal. So, for example, if you look in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, where the Alter Rebbe is speaking about the mitzvah of the three matzahs, why we take three matzahs. In Simon Tov Ayin Hey, in chapter 275, the Alter Rebbe says, Afal pi shebechol yom tov chayev adam livtzoa lecha mishnah, even though a person is always obligated to make a bracha on two breads. But Beleil Pesach, there are those who say, all you need is one and a half. Why? Because it's a lechemoni. It's missing a vav. It's just a piece. But others say, no, no. That doesn't mean you should have one and a half. It should mean you should have two and a half. You should have a broken piece for matzah, and then you should have two whole ones. And Alter Rebbe says, v'chein aminig pashut. That is the broadly accepted custom. Even though there's a huge dispute amongst the Rishonim about this. And therefore, says the Alter Rebbe in chapter 475 of Shulchan Aruch Aveir Chai, in subsection 4, Tzarech Sheyeches Shtei HaShleimot, you have to hold both of the whole matzahs, with the broken piece in between, for Birchat HaMotzi. And the Prusa, the broken piece, will be between those. V'lo yoniach ha'prusa m'mayla, don't put the broken piece on top, even though that's the matzah piece, because l'chatchila you have to make the bracha of hamotzi, and only afterwards you make the bracha of matzah. So because you have to make the bracha of motzi before the bracha of matzah, you have to make sure that the whole matzah, which is the bracha that have hamotzi, is going to be upon, that has to be on the top. So, but here's the problem. The problem is, it would seem, which is the holier, which is the more prominent, which is the bigger mitzvah? It would certainly seem that the bigger mitzvah is eating matzah. In the words of Beshamai, the whole reason we're making hamotzi is because of the matzah. So for this, the Rebbe adds, and it still wouldn't change things, even though it's more than just a blessing, even though it's really this idea of making hamotzi of two breads, versus the making a bracha of matzah, the urcha de milsa, and the now citing of Amrim Goin, it is just the right thing to do. The proper etiquette is levruchi, to thank Hashem who has given us sustenance before we thank Hashem who has given us a mitzvah or make a bracha, but we're making a mitzvah over. Which, by the way, gives us a sense, an inkling of how important it is to show gratitude to Hashem. So it's a tadir v'she'eni tadir insofar as the bracha is concerned. The Alter Rebbe can prove it, that the bracha of Hamotzi has to go first, but still, the Rebbe says, as like, I'm suppositioning, the Rebbe is saying that, but there's an issue over here. If it's more than just a bracha, if this ultimately represents the concept of an action of a mitzvah, the mitzvah of matzah is a much bigger mitzvah. So that's why he counters, and he adds, v'urcha de milsa, and it's the right thing to do, to make a bracha of Hamotzi first. Now it all makes sense. Now we understand why there's a motzi. So now we have clarity as to the benediction order of brachas. We understand we have to make a bracha of hamotzi. We understand that we have to hold the two matzot together with the broken piece in between. So we're making hamotzi over the whole matzah. Then we drop the third matzah and we hold only the broken matzah and the whole matzah, and we make a bracha al achilat matzah. And that's a subject for a different class, why we hold both of those matzah when we make the bracha. The answer is because, according to many opinions, it's actually the bracha of matzah is over the whole matzah. But that's to be discussed later on. So now all of a sudden it's starting to make sense. And that brings us to a very interesting place. We have a mitzvah, a bracha which is MIA, missing in action. Since we're so careful about the brachas, and since we know exactly what we're doing here, and since we figured out which bracha comes first and why it comes first, the next question is, which bracha should we be reciting now? The answer is, when you do a mitzvah once a year, what bracha should you make? Shehecheyanu. Where's the Shehecheyanu? It's missing action. So the Rebbe goes now on to address the bracha of Shehecheyanu. Where is the bracha of Shehecheyanu? I just want to see if we have any questions here. So Zalman or Skippy wants to know, each matzah has its own special blessing. Why don't we say it all at once? We do say it all at once, but the question is what you're making a bracha over. There's a uniqueness. There's each one represents a different idea. Because Lecha Mishnah might need whole matzahs, and Achilat Matzah might need a broken matzah, and as such, the bracha has to be recited over different matzahs. You have to emphasize different things. Anyway, so now comes the Emaye mitzvah. Where's the Shechianu? Where's the Shechianu? So the Rebbe says, Ve'ein mevorchin Shechianu al mitzvahs matzah. Even though we have a whole big motzi, and then we have a matzah, we don't make a Shechianu. Why not? So he says, Ki dailo, it's enough that we had Birchato, Bevirchato v'higiyonu halayla hazeh le'echol bo matzah umoror. Let's take the Haggadah, so you can look in together. Let's turn back a page. We have something called the blessing on the bottom of page 38 in the Hebrew, 39 in the English. We have the blessing, which is called Birchat HaGeula. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the Universe, Asher Go'olonu, who has redeemed us, V'go'al et Avoteinu. By the way, we learned all about this blessing in great detail. Just go back a couple of episodes. And then we say, V'higiyonu, we have arrived. We have attained. Halayla hazeh, this night, le'echol bo matzah umaror. Stop and think, Rabbi Yisai, what does the bracha of Shechianu sound like? Shechianu, v'higiyanu, v'kiyamanu. It's a higiyanu. It says it right here in the bracha, v'higiyanu. You can't make the same bracha twice. It says v'higiyanu. So because it says already v'higiyanu, halayla hazeh this night lechol bo matzah umaror, so in that case, it makes perfect sense that we should be reciting. We shouldn't be reciting the Shechianu bracha. We just said it a minute ago. We just said it. Now, by the way, it's very interesting to note that we learned about previously that the question why we make a bracha she'asan nisim la'avoteinu. And the answer was, one of the answers was that this bracha, Birchat HaGeula, fulfills that bracha also. So this bracha of the Geula is one of those malleable blessings that covers a lot of places. It covers a lot of ground. So that's one answer. That's one answer. Inami, another answer is, we already made the bracha of Shechianu. An actual bracha of Shechianu. When did we make the bracha of Shechianu? We made it b'kiddush. By the way, the woman who light candles made a bracha of Shechianu. Don't say that, kiddush. Because you said it already. So you already made a bracha of Shechianu. This, the Rebbe cites from Avu Darham, and from the Birkei Yosef, which is the Chidah. So Avu Darham, I'll give you the exact language of Avu Darham. He says, "V'higiyonu halayla hazeh, zehu kemosha omrim v'higiyonu lizman hazeh." So Avu Darham is giving the first answer, and then he says, "V'im tomar kivan sheberoch shehigiyonu lama mevarach kan v'higiyonu." He says, "Then I have a question." If we already made a bracha of Shechianu at the time of Kiddush, then why do we just say it again? And he says, because we want to also pray for the future. Bakasha la'atid. Because we say v'higiyanu, we say ken yagiyenu, which the bracha of Shechianu doesn't have. So what you understand from Avu Darham is that the reason that we're not making the bracha of Shechianu could be because we already made it before. Avu Darham, like, kind of, he answers the question in a backhanded way. He says, you know, this bracha, Asher Higiyanu, we shouldn't have to make because really we already made a bracha of Shechianu before. The Birkei Yosef, the Chidah, cites this in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Molcho. He says, Umevorech Shechianu chulu ubazeh, in the time of Kiddush, he says, he says this in chapter 200 and 473. So Avu Darham and the Birkei Yosef come at it from different sides. Avu Darham is asking, why do we make the bracha Ken Yagienu? And he says, you did it at Kiddush already. So you understand that's from Kiddush. The Chidah is more direct in Birki Yosef. He says clearly, when you make the Shechiyanu, Bazeh Niftar, with this becomes exempted the later Shechiyanu already. These are two answers. Two answers as to why we don't make, why the bracha is MIA. The Rebbe says the second answer is very difficult to accept. It's very difficult to accept. Why? He says, because the imkain, if so, hayatzarech lechaven b'shehechiyonu, then we should have had been told that when we make the bracha of shehechiyonu, we should be thinking about the matzah. Nobody says that. When you make the shehechiyonu of kiddush, you should think about the matzah. Now you should remember this. Because a couple of weeks ago, I made an announcement in shul. And the announcement I made was that when you're going to answer the bracha of Shechiyanu, you should not only think about the Megillah, you should think also about the Mishloach Manot, the Matanot Lev Yonim, and the Suda of Purim, the other mitzvah of Purim. So the Rebbe says, yeah, al derech Shechiyanu the Kriyas Megillah. Just like the Shechiyanu, should we say, Shetzarech Lechaven, you actually have to have it in mind for the Mishloach Manot and the Suda. Kamesha Kosva Shalom, and the Magen Avraham cites it in chapter 692. So what does the Shalom say? The Shalom actually spells it out very clearly. The Shalom says, Kishemevarchim al kriyat Megillah v'shehechiyanu, when you make a blessing on the Megillah and Shehechiyanu, yichaven sheyoytze bibrachas elu, you should think that you're fulfilling with these brachot. He goes further than Shechiyanu. He says both brachot, the Su'udat Purim, Mishloach, and the Mishloach Manot. He doesn't say Matanot Lavim because you don't make a bracha on tzedakah. Ki Su'udat Purim u'Mishloach Manot, heim gam kein mitzvot midivri Kabbalah. These are also the same level mitzvah as the Megillah itself. V'roi hoyo levorech aleim, we should have made a bracha over them. Asher kedishanu b'mitzvot ha'vetzivanu, lechol Su'udat Purim. So why don't you? Because you made a bracha on the Megillah. And you should make a Shechiyanu. Mizman l'mayin, zman kasi. He says, Raksha brocha la Megillah refers to the kriyat ha-Megillah, the reading of the Megillah. Va'al kiyum ma shekatuv b'Megillah. You're making a bracha on the reading of the Megillah and on what is written in the Megillah, the fulfillment of what says in the Megillah. Namely, so the Su'uda and the Mishloach Manot. And he says, this is kemo Shechiyanu b'kiddush yom tov Sukkot. When you make the bracha and you say Shechiyanu at the night of Kiddush for Sukkot, what are you having in mind for also? You're also fulfilling the mitzvah of the Shechiyanu for the Sukkah itself. That's what we make on the first night of Sukkot, to make first the bracha of Leishev Basukkah, making a blessing on the Sukkah, sanctifying the Sukkah, and then we make a Shechiyanu over it. And therefore he says, the Shomea, the listener, has to be Mechavim Bezeh. So in the Magen Avraham, in Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't talk about the bracha of Megillah, but he talks about the bracha of Shechiyanu. So the Rebbe says, if it's true, what we're being told here, that this actually goes back to the bracha of Kiddush, then why weren't we told to think about it? Nobody has a suggestion that when you make the bracha of Kiddush, and you say Shechiyanu, you should think about the matzah too. So the Rebbe says the second answer is very difficult to accept. In 1957, the famous European, later Israeli rabbi, Rabbi Yosef Shlomo Zevin, the editor of the Encyclopedia Talmudics, sent the Rebbe a letter and he asked a question on the Rebbe. He said, I don't understand the Rebbe's question. Why is it a problem? He says, you see that when you make a bracha on the sukkah, you don't have to have in mind the sukkah. And he says, furthermore, we have a halacha that says when you make a bracha on the search for the chametz, we don't make a shechiyanu. Why not? Because the shechiyanu of Kiddush works for destroying the chametz too. And Rabbi Zevin says, the Alter Rebbe himself passes like this. And he does. In chapter 232 of Shulchan Aruch, the Alter Rebbe says that once you make the bracha, ein mevarchin shechiyanu kodem habdika, you don't make a shechiyanu before you go searching for chametz, because It's letzorech haregel. Why are we searching for chametz? Because we want to observe Pesach. So he says, in that case, hunehi nifteret bebirchat shachianu shemavarchem beregel bekiddush. So Rabbi Zevin says, you see, you don't have to have anything in mind. And then he asks other questions. The Rebbe responds to him, and this is found in Igros Kedush, volume 15. The Rebbe says, I really don't understand you. How could you have in mind something you did already? He said, sure, the Shechianu works retroactively. But how can you say, oh, by the way, now when you make a Shechianu, think about yesterday. How will that work? That makes no sense, he says. But if you're going to make a Shechianu now for something you do later on in the day, that makes sense to think about it. Rabbi Zevin also suggests that the bracha of Shechianu of the Megillah has nothing to do with the day of Purim, and therefore that's why you have to have it in mind. The Rebbe says, with all due respect, the Yaivetz says that it does have to do with the day of Purim, because if you don't have a Megillah, you still make a Shechianu on Purim. So the Rebbe says, it's actually not correct. The distinctions you're trying to force are not correct. And the Rebbe's question remains. So bottom line, why do we make a Shechianu? The answer is, because we said Higianu, we said it. We have a non-traditional Shechianu. And insofar as Kiddush, the Shechianu of Kiddush, working for Matzah, although it is cited by very, very illustrious authors, it is certainly not a shoo-in and not very simple. So now you have an idea of the order of blessings, the benedictions, the MIA blessing, but most importantly, we learned that the Hamotzi is not just a blessing, it's actually an observance. And now you know why Motzi comes before Matzah. Because actually it's the observance of the Lechem Mishnah which becomes a part of our Pesach Seder night ritual. To be continued, thank you everybody for joining us. May Hashem help us that long before Pesach arrives, Mashiach shall take us home and we should be not only eating Matzah, but Korban Pesach too. And if Chas V'Shalom Mashiach is delayed, I'll be back here teaching, and I hope you'll be joining. Laila Tov.